You can sit if you want. You can stand if you want. We're not real formal here, but we want to be respectful to the Lord, right? Yes. Amen. I'm just going to give a quick couple of announcements and then introduce Kamal. Tonight we have what we've just been calling, because we don't really have a name for it, a unity gathering at Susquehanna Baptist Church with a few other congregations that are going to be there. It's at 6 o'clock. If you would like to go, I think it's in the bulletin or some directions or address, but it's Susquehanna Baptist Church at 6 p.m. And then we have something really unique next week I'm excited about, except I'm not going to be here next Sunday. But Pastor Larry Cool from Rivers of Living Water in Sugar Creek is going to bring his congregation here. We're going to join together and he's going to preach. Amen. Glory be to God. We need to see the body of Christ coming together in a mighty way. I am convinced, I've said it many times, but I'm convinced we're not going to see the revival and the awakening we've been praying for years about until at least there's some degree of unity. I believe that's what the Lord, he's not just doing it, he's waiting on us to respond to what he's doing. Amen. I'm just so glad that you're here. I'm so excited Kamal's here. We love him so much. Would you please welcome Kamal Saleem?
It is really to do something good. It's not what our life is, what it is for. It is what it's all he had for us in our life. I want to say good morning to everyone. It's good to be home again. It's good to see your beautiful faces. Some of you are grandfathers, and some of you are grandmothers, and some of you are great, great. And hopefully just twice, not three times. I just became a great-grandfather myself. I know. This little boy is just stole my heart. I'm going like, oh, even when he stinks, I'm going like, I smell the best out of him every time. I'm going like, how do you do this, Lord? He said, that's the way humanity is. No matter how stink they are, I love them so much because I created them. I'm going like, oh, God speak to me through everything. So I try to find God's purpose in everything. What is your purpose, Lord? And if we are walking life and we are not asking God, what is my purpose and what you called me for and which direction is my life is all about and what is your will for this time and this hour, we are missing the whole thing. The most important thing is we could not lose our focus. Our focus is when we lose our focus, we lose the battle. And that's the most important thing. Now, I want to see how many of you are guests that you are not from this church. Put your hand up in the air. Kodak moment. Okay, you're on camera. And how many of you last night did not hear the message from last night? Put your hand up in the air. Okay. From the visitors only, how many of you were not last night heard the message from last night? Keep your hand up in the air. I'm sorry? The question is, those are visiting that they did not hear last night's speaking engagement. I just want to see your hands. And last but not least, those who have not heard my testimony, put your hand up in the air too. My goodness, life is not a box of chocolate, but today it's... Well, before I go further, I got to introduce something here. We just came with a new series. It's called Unveiling. Unveiling is a series that I'm really excited about. There's nothing like it in the market. Unveiling is for such time as this. This one here, it's called The Ugly Truth, The Threat of Islamic Extremism. And who they are, what they are, how they're doing it, how they are taking our nation apart, how they are infiltrated in the fiber of our government in different places. What's their naming convention, how they implemented, and how they're going about it, and who's paying for this, and who is involved within our government with this. So we put everything out and open. It's time for the church to arise and say, darkness is darkness and light is light. They have nothing to do with one another. So we have to point to them and declare it. The church must bring its identity back and say, for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. That's the declaration of Joshua. This one here, it's called the beautiful truth. And why do I talk about the beautiful truth? Because it's the battle strategy. How are we going to win this battle back? The answers. How do we bring the Muslim back, you know, to the promise? The Muslim have a promise. God made to them a promise in the desert to Ishmael. And he said, I hear your cries and I will bless your nation. Why? Because they came from Abraham. So therefore, even though that they are not the promised children, but God has a promise for them. Why? Because God created humanity. And here we talked about how the Muslim believe, what they think, the miracles that have taken place in the Muslim world and what's happening. This series is to teach a teacher, to educate the educators, homeschoolers. This is very important. If you are military, this is very important. Military should start watching this. Why? Because we must have a battle strategy. And how do we go from here? This is General Jerry Boykin and myself. We went on this. Tom Doyle and underground missionaries. We're speaking about this. And a whole Iranian family from the blind blood of Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam, came to Christ. The whole family. They have an encounter with Christ. So it is powerful what God is doing. The rest of the material, for everybody in this church, you know what it is. But this one here is the B2 report. The B1 report is a government report. President Ronald Reagan hired a private group. They were generals, businessmen, just like you and me. And they want and study communism. They went to Russia. They went to China. They went to old places. And they studied what communism is all about. And what they created report of Team B1. And it was the threat to America. You know, and so therefore, Reagan took that report and he defeated the communists with it. And he brought the walls of, the communism down. Today, this one here is done with the same group and some others. This is about the threat to America through Sharia law. Sharia law, the destruction that will destroy our nation. This book, if for the learners, those who like to read, it has a lot of meat. And it has, you know, I'm a meat eater and I love to eat, meat. So this is a good book for those who'd like to get to know the truth because it goes in detail on every level. This is my biography and what the Muslim people are doing all over the world and why we came to America and what we're going to do in America. The other stuff in here, we have a three doctrine, the doctrine of slavery, the doctrine of Christian and Jews, and the doctrine of women. Why Islam came to destroy these three elements. Islam is the only religion that allows slavery in modern day 21st century. So therefore today, Islam is the religion itself is a religion of slavery. You could not be Allah follower of God of Islam, unless you become slave to him. You know, God called us. He said, I don't call you like other calls you. I have called you a friend. And then he turned around and he said, you are the children of God. You are not from this nation, not from this earth. You come from, your citizenship come from higher place. Today you are chosen, you are selected, and you are blessed. Why? Because God has called you for such time as this to be a blessing for the nation. He called you salt and light. He called you a city on a hill. And those doctrines are very important with the two-hour Quran. We have a two-hour Quran for those who hate to read. It'll educate you very fast. So we made it small, all y'all. So therefore, yes, I'm from southern Beirut. Yes, and I'm married to a redneck. And yes, she loved Jesus. She said it come between Jesus and Jesus. You know, if it come between us and Jesus is the issue, she said, I choose Jesus. So Forrest, learn your lesson up front. This is my biography. This is my life story, my testimony in 40 minutes. It's a DVD. We don't carry CDs. We only carry DVD. This is the abridged Quran, and it is not written for to show the American what the Quran said. It's written to show you what the Quran is all about and what's, you know, the understanding, the mechanical, the component, and how it interconnects. Last but not least, Sharia law for non-Muslim. The Sharia law that everybody must understand, what is Sharia law and why Sharia would destroy our nation. Sharia law is made from three components: the hadith, which is the traditions, biography of Muhammad. Tradition of Muhammad is the hadith. The seerah is the biography, and then last but not least is the Quran. And those three components make Sharia. And when you understand that Islam, the majority of Islam, is what Muhammad did. The Muslims today are doing what Muhammad has done. So therefore, they walk in his footsteps to fulfill the purpose that he so called to them, you know, that Allah gave him. Muhammad never had an encounter with Allah. He never spoke to God. He never knew God. He had an encounter with a spirit. It's called the spirit of light. One day, Muhammad walked into a cave. You know, he was a man that he was seeking God. But in that time, what he was seeking, you know, in the days of Jahiliyyah. What is Jahiliyyah? Is the prior to coming of God into the Arab world. And when he was seeking God, it was in the month of Hujra. What is Hujra? Hujra is the days, you know, when they are repenting, they declaring their seeking of God. And there what happened, he went outside of Mecca. He used to draw into caves. Muhammad drew into caves. He used to walk into those caves and hide in those caves. And one day, as he was in this cave at that time, he had an encounter with the spirit. And the spirit demanded from him, said, Muhammad, iqra. And Muhammad says, wama ana biqari'. Muhammad, read. And he said, what do I read? And he said the second time, iqra. Wama ana biqari'. The third time, he said, iqra. He said, what do I read? And when he could not speak, the spirit seized him. Muhammad feared the spirit so much that after he encountered that spirit, he came to throw himself off the cliff three times. Now I take it to the book of Mark, Mark 5, and this is what happened exactly when Jesus met the demoniac man. You remember the man possessed? And he said, where did he come from? He lived in the caves. He broke every chain. He terrorized the whole region. The whole region was terrorized by him. So what happened when he came to him, he bowed before him. He said, what have you come to do, Jesus, son of the living God? Our time is not up. And Jesus said, hush, shut up. Who are you? He said, my name is Legion. What is a legion? It's a gateway, and a gateway for a medium for somebody to come with something, and that person become a terrorizing spirit of terrorism, come by demonic power. It doesn't come from God. So it comes through a man, and now this man is killing in the name of a God that he never seen, never heard, and that God never said to him, I love you, or I sent you. That spirit spoke to him, and he said to his wife, I think I'm possessed with demons. And she said, no, you ain't possessed with demon. You are the prophet. So he became prophet. Why? Because he didn't know what he's going to do. So he came to kill himself three times. Just like the pigs threw themselves off the cliff when this demonic power went into them. Are you following me so far? Why do we talk about this? You know, when God spoke the light, in the book of Genesis, when God declared, he said, let there be light. What was the purpose of the light? What did darkness do when light came? Darkness feared light because didn't know what to do with it. Why God sent light to earth? Because earth was formless and void. And what happened? Satan was cast down. And so what happened? God sent his light. And his light was his holy presence. And so therefore what happened is we shed light on the darkness. And what do? We're trying to equip the saints of God. That when you go out there, you are fully aware what you're dealing with. So when you pray, you are not just shooting all over. You're taking a sniper shot. Each shot counts for something. You're out of here. I'm scaring people already out. Or maybe it's a bathroom run. Sorry. This is not what I want to talk about, but it's important. I'm going to go through my testimony very fast for those who have not heard it. I came to America to destroy America. I came to turn the children of this nation against its own nation and destroy this nation by its own people. My ideology was given by Allah, and Allah commanded me to destroy this nation. And I came for my inheritance. And if we destroy your men and women, then we can have you as our inheritance. We were called that when we come to this nation, is everything you have belong to us. Your women, your children, your home, your finances, your government, your everything you own, your very own life. And if you don't become Muslim, we have a right to kill you. Simple. I teach seminar on this, but today I have something totally different, as I promised some people last night what I'm going to speak on. But I'm going to introduce this. And then I had an accident, was so severe, I cracked my neck in two places and my left side. And what happened is three Christian men reached out to me, and I found out there is 60 family involved together, and they are Christian businessmen, all of them. And they reached out to me and showed me the unconditional love, and my eyes were open for the first time in my life. The Word of God says, the God of this world has blinded to whom? The unbelievers. And when they are blinded, they have no clue where they're going and what they're going to do. So what happened? They were lost. He said, lest the gospel of good news of Jesus Christ reach them. And when it reached them, it opened the eyes, the ears of the understanding. My eyes were open in their home because they were the first Bible I've seen. Today, your place in the community, whether you're a father, mother, generals, teacher, student, whatever, your job is to declare the glory of the Lord. Reflect everything. If you don't want to talk about Jesus and you're ashamed of talking about it, what happened? Do speak about what God did in your life. Start testifying the Word of God, and they overcame. They're overcoming by what? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. The blood has been shed. Now your testimony, what will change the nations. And when you talk about this, many times you think that people are going to go like, oh, he's one of those stupids. Well, everything, when you seed that seed, it's God promised to take it from there and fulfill it. You have fulfilled the promise, and God will take it from there. And when I called on my God one day after they let me go, well, guess what? I called on Allah, and Allah didn't show up, but Yahweh showed up. Jesus himself. And when I looked at him, he had holes in his hand and his feet, and he's dressed like a rabbi, and he is Jew. He is not anything else. He is Jew. He spoke Aramaic still until this day. And I'm going like, why would God want to send his son when I called for him? I'm on the Father and one. If you know me, you've known him. Wow. How do you do that? Well, anyhow, I gave my life to him, and he healed my body, and he healed my mind, healed my soul, and he healed my heart. So today, my reformation is no longer what I came from, is where I'm going to. Today, every day in your life, when you have encounters in your life, we must understand is where you're standing and what are you doing in that understanding. We affect people to go in a different direction. If you are not affecting people, we're missing the whole thing. Isn't that right? We must come to that place where we become a living word of God. He said, reflect my image, reflect my glory. I've given you all this so that you share it. I want to move from there to my teaching. Last night, I made a promise that I will talk on in time and where we are in time. For the first time historically, we find out that for the first time, the Gregorian calendar is lining up with the Jewish calendar. There's an alignment. What is the Gregorian calendar? It's the Gentile. The Hebraic calendar is how God speaks to the Jews. How does he speak to them? He speaks to them through time, signs, and events, and years, and seasons. And all of it is done by the moon. The birth of the moon, the fullness of the moon, the middle of the moon, and all the what take place, the celebration, like Feast of the Tabernacle, or Feast of the Trumpet, the Passover, Sukkot, all those things. God speak to the Jews on the holidays. And God spoke through the Jews. The gift of God came through Christ Jesus, a Jew born into humanity, Son of God and a Son of Man, to be what? To be salt and light for humanity. And so therefore, when we looked at this, for the first time I found out that 2014, as I was doing the study, there's double uniqueness, double perfect government. 7 and 7 is what? 14. But 7 is what? It's a perfection. It's a perfect government. Completion. And so what happened, this is a double. It's two, you know, double 14. So the emphasis is not on the 7. The emphasis on number 2. What is the emphasis on what? 2. Why 2? Because this is the double portion of perfection. You know, 2014. 7 times 2 is 14. And now the emphasis right there is the double portion. What is the double portion on a Pentecost? When the days of the Pentecost came about, the Holy Spirit fell with the tongues of fire and power. It empowered the people to new level and they were changed. So what happened, there is a double portion now is taking place. The fulfillment is taking place in the last days. Then the Holy Spirit was spread in freedom and nature. So what's happening there is a changing. There is a reformation that's coming about. Why? Because it's God's season. It's God calendar. It's God timing. It's no longer mankind. The story that we are walking in, it's called His story, history. When God wrote the book and he said, I am, he signed it and he was seated on the throne and he declared the things he said in the book of Genesis, he has declared the future from the past. And in the book of Revelation, he declared the past from the future. And now he's coming to a place to say, this is how it's going to finish. He said, I will build the church and the power of hell will not and could not prevail as he stood at the gate of hell. Where was the gate of hell? Where Islam, the end of Islam, there was two gates of hell. One in right where Jesus stood and the other one was in Turkey. This is where the Ottoman Empire was birthed. So when he this is where they gave sacrifices to Amalek, to Jezebel, to Hubel, to Baal, to all those, they gave blood sacrifice to those demonic power, the underworld. And so what happened is he stood there and he declared his glory and his victory against hell itself because he came to accomplish this. There were two men that they walked in history. And these two men has the same story. Both of them walked in the wilderness and both of them were seeking God. But each one was in a different direction, walking different. One, his name is Son of God and a Son of Man. His name was Jesus. He walked in the wilderness for 40 days and 40. Okay, I'm sure. I just want to make sure you're awake. The second one went fasting and praying for 30 days. And what is he seeking? He's seeking God. And there at the time, they worshiped 360 gods. From God of fire, God of sex, God of this, God of blood, God of all gods. So what happened? Both of them had an encounter with that spirit of light, Satan. Satan is the spirit of light. One said to Satan, he said, step you behind me. It is written from the beginning and you know it, so get out of here, Jack. Why? Because Satan, he said, if you bow before me, I will give you the kingdoms. Why? Because he stole them from whom? From Adam. And he said, if you bow before me, I'm going to give you everything. Just come and get it. He said, you worship the Lord and the Lord alone and no other beside him. That's what he said. Now, Muhammad, when he had an encounter, he bowed to that spirit. And that spirit gave him the kingdoms by the blood, taking the blood of humanity. One gave his blood and one took blood. One walked by murdering spirit and one walked by spirit of adoption of Jesus Christ. One brought the spirit of orphan and one brought the spirit, the glory of the living God, the Holy Spirit. The gifting are two different. One installed fear, one installed grace. We do not worship the same God. Allah and Jehovah God Almighty, they are not the same God. One of them, his name is Jack, and one of them, his name is Jehovah God. Both of them start with J. The other significance, now we got to go to God's significance. This is when he said he will make the two men one. Jesus said, he said, I came to make the Jew and the Gentiles as what? One man. This is the second fold of 2014. In the book of Malachi, the word of God says, In Malachi 4, he said he will return the heart of the fathers to the sons and the heart of the sons to their father. So I was sitting with a Jewish rabbi. I said, we were talking about this. He said, this is what should happen nowadays. I said, well, your sons live with you. Why does he have to return their heart to you? He said, that's a good question. I said, well, your son is what birthed out of you, the Christians. And he said, he said, you may be onto something. I said, no, I am. Now, you see, America, for the first time, the people of the United States of America standing physically with Israel. And Israel standing physically with America. The two are becoming one. As Jesus said, I came to make the two men one. That's the second fold. And also to bring the heart of the Father and the people together. That's the second portion. To bring the two heart one. We must have the heart of God. What is the heart of God? Is to love. He so loved the world that he gave. What's the given? We must give everything we have to bring the glory of God back. And what is that? To declare who he is in our life. And also the third one is from Adam to Jesus. The fulfillment. What was stolen to the fulfillment. It's coming about. From Moses to Joshua. Moses walked in the promise. Joshua fulfilled the promise. We are standing in front of you today. This is the age that will fulfill the promise before the coming of a great king. You are walking in the most important time in history and time. No other man, many men wished. There was a man, he was watching the signs of time. He wanted to see Jesus. He turned to an old California raisin and he was walking to the temple. And one day as he walked to the temple and he said, I behold the glory of Jesus Christ. And when he held the child, he said, it's time for me to go home. Well, guess what? You are the generation that will usher Christ Jesus into his right place. Amen. But the church must understand who she is and what her character is. One day I was flying an airplane, and the airplane, we hit turbulence. It was so deep and so strong that the airplane was falling like 14, 16, 20 feet. And the whole thing was going boom, 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 boom. And everything started opening up and luggage coming out, coats, and people were screaming with fear. And a captain came on the speaker and he said, calm down, people. He said, the character of this airplane is solid. This airplane will take you to your final destination safely. He had nothing to fear. I was going like, preach it. Preach it. And so what I'm going like, he must be Christian. Thank God it was not the rapture. We're flying with no captain. We're going somewhere. This is the fulfillment. From Elijah to Elisha. The double portion. The first portion was in the sevenfold. The second one is in a doublefold. What he did here, he did 8, he did 16. So when you look at him, because the crossing of the Jordan, nobody talks about the crossing. That's another miracle. So they speak about 7 and 14. I speak about 8 and 16. I mean, more is more in God's kingdom. And so therefore what happened is, this is the fulfillment. This is where the promise of God will come about. And I'm going to take you, where is that in the Bible? Everything, if we could not measure what we're talking about, then what we're talking about is trash. If we're going to speak to the world, we got to testify and witness to the truth. So today, before you leave, if you don't have that DVD, you know, this, are we recording this, Pastor? Audio. Get the audio. And if you didn't get the audio from last night we have a great time. I was tired, but it was good. Get the audio from the church last night. That was good audio. Ask Pastor, don't ask me where that church is, because I don't know addresses. We're going somewhere. This is the best part. It's the fulfillment from Adam to Jesus Christ, and the fulfillment from Jesus Christ to the church. 2014. What's so unique about 2014? We are walking the beginning of the finals. In Matthew 1:1-17, he's, you know, it speak about the you know, the history of Jesus Christ, his birth, and how it's broken into 14 and 14, from beginning from Abraham all the way to Jesus Christ, and where it connect all together. And then it speak about this, in the same understanding, it speak about the double portion of spiritual perfection, because humanity was not in perfection until Christ came. He became an absolute and perfect. It's the four, you know, it's the representation of the deliverance and salvation, 2014. On the 14th day of the first month was the Passover. That is when it took place, on the 14th day of the first month of the Jewish calendar. The Passover took place on the 14th day. And then on the 14th day, God delivered the firstborn of Israel. God is going to do deliverance to this nation, to his sons and daughter in this nation. We're going to see a new outcome. It's called the Great Awakening. On the night of the 14th day, the first month, God made two covenants. With whom? With Abraham. On the night of the 14th of the first month of the Jewish calendar, God made two promises to Abraham. One promise was the physical seed. That was the birth of Israel. The second one was the second birth, which is Jesus Christ, which is Son of God and Son of Man. And that is the spiritual promise. The fulfillment of the first one has not come to the fullness until the days of Gentile is fully completed. And that is the church is lifted up. That's the days the Spirit of God is the church is lifted, and now the Spirit of God will move into Jerusalem, into Israel, into the Israelite. On the so now there are the physical seed and there are spiritual seeds, and now this is the grafting into the inheritance that God made to Jesus, to Abraham, through Christ Jesus, who fulfilled the promise. On the first month, on the 14th day, upon the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, that was when the promise was sealed in blood. Are you listening to this? This is exciting time, 2014. So in Matthew 13 and 43, it says, the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. We are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from a victory. Do not cower in the face of darkness, but shine and be who you are and tell them who you are, because you got nothing to lose. To live is Christ and to die is gain. Your life is here. They can steal your flesh, but there your soul and your spirit, nobody can take away from you. You belong to Jesus. You are sealed by the promise. I went to Lebanon in 1991 to visit my family. And after I visit my family, my immediate family were 57 at that time. Now they're about 200 and something. I have 14 brothers and sisters, and they love to have children. And my sister, my youngest sister, took me to the other room, and she said, "My brother, I have a question for you." That's my youngest sister. You know, I used to carry her to school. She was a little baby. And I just took care of her. I changed her diapers. And one day she said to me, she said, "You are one of us, but you are not one of us." I said, "Whoops, she's onto something." So play just happy and don't know what you're talking about. She said, "Who are you?" I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "You came to our home and you brought something with you. We don't have." She said, "The family are sealed together. We are laughing together. We are loving together. We have breakthrough, physical breakthrough, spiritual breakthrough, financial breakthrough. Since you came, you brought laughter and you brought, the family was divided and killing each other. And now they are one." She said, "The minute you came here, you brought this with you. What is it, my brother?" I said, "Don't know. I'm innocent." She said, "Do you worship the same God we worship?" I said, "I worship the Most High God, that there's no other beside him." She said, "Don't be stupid on purpose, my brother." She's zesty, like you. She said, "Is his name Jesus?" "Is his name Allah?" And I was trying to conjure a story to tell her a lie. Why? Because if they know I'm Christian over there, they're going to take my head off right away. These guys carry AK-47s and they carry their guns, Magarov, on the side. These people will shoot first, and then if you're still alive, they may ask the question. And I said to her, I was thinking about this, and I heard the voice of my Creator. And he said, "My son, if you deny me, if you're ashamed of me before her, I will be ashamed of you before my Father." And I said, "Oh my God, what am I going to tell her?" So I said, "Well, his name is Jesus." She said, "I knew it. I knew it. Give me Jesus." "What? Give me Jesus." I'm going like, I don't carry Jesus. She opened her hand like, "Give me a gift." It's a gift. Even the darkness know it's a gift. Amen. They're saying, "Give me." Even when they don't know what they're asking for, they want you to speak to them, to love them, to share with them. Life is in him, and you are in him, and life is in you. You are givers of life. Life, you lead them to Christ, and they have everlasting life. And I went like, "Okay, open your hand, sister." So I put my hand, I start doing the prayers. And as I was praying, she went, took her hand, and she screamed with a loud voice. "Aah!" I'm going, "Shut up! They're going to kill us!" "Shut up! They're coming after us!" As you all say in here, I was scared. She said, "I don't care, I don't care." "Aah!" I'm going, "What happened?" She said, "I was born with a hernia that came out of my stomach." And when a girl in Islam has issue like this, nobody would marry her. She's unclean. She's not pure. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. But nobody would touch her. Why? Because she's not perfect. She has to be virgin. She has to be this, this, this. Or otherwise she will be killed. She said, "One day I was a little girl. I was playing with my toys. And this thing came over my head, a hand. And I felt like this hand locked on my head and oppressed me. And I went to sleep, woke up with a cluster headache. This headache took me, you know, I go to sleep, wake up, it's the norm for me. And when you said, 'In the name of Jesus Christ,' she said, the hand was lifted up from my head." That's the first thing. And I was going, "Whoa." She said, my stomach was perfectly sealed. I was going, and she said, Only a true God will do such a thing. I was going, hallelujah, hallelujah. She said, shut up, shut up. They're going to kill us. Miracles are happening. But the miracle will never take place until you make it happen. What is this? We give miracles to life. When they are dead, we give them life. When they are thirsty, we give them water. When they're hungry, we give them the living word of God. Amen. This is what we do. This, everyone has a ministry. You don't have to be minister to minister. I don't want the ministry. I said, God, I know what you do to people like me. And if I start sinning with this, I'm judged more than anybody else. He said, yep. But I called you because you were born for that purpose. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what the word of God says. To obey God is better than give a fat cow. It started. It started. And that's why I testified to the glory of the living God. All gods are dumb, deaf, and blind, and dead. But the living God lives forever. Amen. Jesus. So, I want to talk a little bit about Genesis 1:14. God said, let there be light in the firmament of heaven and divide the day from the night. And let the signs be signs. Let there be seasons for days, years, and you know the whole story. God has given us time, divides, signs, when things happen. Upon Jesus coming, what happened? The wise men, they came from the Medes and they were looking for that newborn, you know, the new king. And they were seeking God. And when they came and they offer their gifting, they were waiting for him from the days of Daniel. That's how long they waited for him. And they brought those gifting at his feet. And when they offer this, they went different way. They didn't come the same way they came from. They did not go back. They went totally different way. Are you listening to me? They were changed. Anytime you have an encounter with the living God, your life will never be the same again. And if your life is not changing, you need to engage him. Because there is appointment over there. And that appointment is made in heaven. Before you were born, he said, I have known you. Before I created you in your mother womb, I have loved you. He created us. He said, I have created you wonderfully and fearfully in your mother womb with my hands. Wow. So he has, tell him I'm not here. He said, I have a great plan for you. I have a future and I have everything. Now, the parable of the 10 virgins. This is very important. And the story, who heard the story about 10 virgins? And it said, the kingdom of heaven will be like the 10 virgin. Who's the kingdom? We are the kingdom. He said, will be like the 10 virgin that took their lamps to meet the bridegroom. Who? Jesus. Five of them were stupid. They were foolish. And five were wise. What makes the difference between the two? Five, the word of God said, their jars were filled with oil. Well, what's that oil? What's the uniqueness of the oil? It's the oil of the Holy Spirit. Because what happened, the other one said to them, let us borrow of your oil some, because they were running out of oil. And we can go with you. They said, we only have enough oil to carry on for us. They could have followed them, but they did not follow them. What happened? Because the word of God said in 2 Corinthians 4:7, he said, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that is all surpassing power of God is not from us. There you have it. What happened is, what we have in us, greater is he that is in us than he the one in the world. It is the spirit of the truth that testify. So five of them was filled and five of them were empty like a drum with no noise. Boom, 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 boom. Just noise, but no life. And the other one, they are walking in the living God. And so what happened is, this is what they did. There was separation between the five and the five. They went back to the marketplace to purchase their oil. Their life, their worship, their glory, everything they had, it was in the world. It was not in God. They thought they worshiped God. Many, Jesus said, many will come and say, Lord, in your name we healed the sick. We cast out demons. He said, depart from me, I did not know you. And when the 10 virgin What happened when they did this? Even the 10 version, all of them went to slumber, went to sleep. America today is sleeping. America is slumbering. But there is a sound coming from heaven, a shofar. He said, arise, O sleeper. They come in the glory of the living God, his light. Open your window and usher his light. It's coming in. God is calling this forth. We must open the glory, our heart, to the glory of God, that he may come in and reside in us. And so what happened there in that place, when they slumbered, the shout came out, and the five were in the market, went back, and these five, door was open and closed. Five were taken. And when they came and knocked on the door, those five, they said, let us in. He said, depart from me. I did not know you. It's too late. Where is your relationship with God? The most important place in your ministry is not on a street. It's not anywhere else. The most important place with God is your intimacy with him. If he called himself our husband and we are his bride, then he's require intimacy. And what is that? To charge him into our life. And if he's commanding us to do one thing versus the other, then we do everything he asks us. Why? Because he is God. And what makes us the son of the living God is because we grafted into him. He said, I am the way and the life and truth, and no one comes to the Father but through me. So now, there are three kind of people. When trouble come and they see the police siren and flashing light, the first one will panic and fear will strike that person, and he will know right away, I'm not in the right place. There's a place in our life, our heart will condemn us if we're in the wrong place. You will know, as you know, you are not in the right place. Why? Because our heart is a witness. God tests the heart daily. And when our hearts speak to us and say to us, you're not in the right place, so you need an alignment. Put your wheels up and let God align your wheels. And that comes only by reading the word and getting what he's saying. The second kind of people, when they see the light, they got happy and joyful. These are the Christians. They're here, justice is served, this and that. And the third kind will panic and they start acting right. They see the police coming around them, they're doing like 80 miles per hour, they slow down to 55. They step to the right lane. Oh, I'm driving good. And they start thanking God, I'm going to be a better driver from now on. Thank you for saving me, not taking a ticket. What happened is today we are walking in a place where the sirens are upon us. And the coming of the king is upon us. And what we do with this, I'm telling you here, this is a time for alignment with God. Whatever you're doing, come to reason with God again and test yourself. The word of God said, before the mountains were born and you brought forth in the world, from everlasting to everlasting, the word of God says, you are God. We were singing it. 1,000 years to God is one day. 1,000 years of ours is one day to God. The earth moved in a beautiful movement. God has everything under control. God wrote this story, and the story is unfulfilling. It's being fulfilled in front of us. In Psalms 39, the word of God says, Lord, you know everything, my Lord. Lord, let me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? This is a place to ask the Lord, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to do, and where I'm going to? Commend me, O God. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Don't be silent to my tears. This is a place where we enter his gate with thanksgiving, and we enter his court with praise. This is a place where we surrender to the mighty God and say to him, your way, Yahweh, and not mine. In Psalms 139, it said, you formed me, my inward parts, you covered me in my mother wombs. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, O God. In Matthew 2:2, it speaks about the signs. These, you know, about the men, how they, you know, came to know of Christ. Today, here's the sign. The signs they're going to go before you. In Matthew 16, The Pharisees and the Sadducees came to test Jesus Christ, and they said to him, "Show us signs from heaven." And what did he say to them? He said, "In the evening, it will be a fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be foul weather today, for the sky is red." And threatening hypocrites, he said. He called them hypocrites. "You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of times. A wicked and adulterous generation." In the Jewish laws, in the Jewish custom, a husband will come and marry his wife, just like when Abraham sent for his son to marry. So what happened? They will send people to ask for her hand. They ask for her hand, and they say, "Next year, this time, we're coming to pick her up. Be ready." And they will depart. Upon that 1 year, they will arrive. If the bride is ready, the bridegroom will take her with him home. If she's not ready, he will say, "This marriage is null." And he would walk away from the marriage. This is the Jewish customs. The coming of the Lord will be just like this. Those who are ready and those who are not. Many people say, "We still have time. Next year it's going to be all right. I still have a few days to sin." But the Lord would say, "The hour will come like a thief of the night." So, there's something happening, a phenomenal, that nobody understand this phenomenal, except when we start looking into the Jewish customs. And these are the coming of the blood moons. The blood moons, they will take place. The first one has taken place upon the Passover, 4/15/2014. The second one will come on Sukkot, the Feast of the Trumpet, which is 10/8/2014. This is coming about. Then there will be on Adar, which is, on 3/20/15, will be the sun eclipse. And then there will be one more blood moon, full moon, on a Passover, on 4/4/2015. And then the last one will be on 4th, which is on Sukkot, the Feast of the Trumpet, or the Booth, it is on 9/28/2015. And what are these moons, and where are they mentioned in the Bible, and for what purpose? Throughout time and history, God demonstrated through those moons. When a blood moon taking place, God judged Israel. When the sun eclipse, God is judging the world on behalf of Israel. These are coming in sequence, 2, 1, and 2. It's coming together, and according to NASA, this will not happen until 840 years from now, the next millennia. So therefore, what happened is, these will be the last four blood moons, and they're happening 2014, 2015. And you go like, "Woo, me!" Not yet. In the book of Joel, God is giving us a roadmap, and in this roadmap, he's putting everything as signs and wonder from the glory of the Lord to show us what he's going to do. And these are signs for the last, for the last day. One day I was driving from Colorado. We're going to visit my children and grandchildren. And my wife asked me to drive. And I just finished work. I worked 24 hours. So I will take another 2 days vacation. I was just thinking selfishly. And what happened, I was halfway asleep. And I kept driving and kept driving and kept driving. And my wife woke up. She said, "Are we there yet, sweetheart?" I said, "Well, let me see. We're in Kansas City." She said, "Sweetie, we have to double back. 5 hours this way. We're going to Oklahoma City." And I'm going like, "Well, I didn't read the sign. I was too sleepy. I was too slumbering. I was too tired." Why? Because I was thinking selfishly. And when she trusts me in something, I messed it up. We are walking the same definition today. In the book of Joel 12 through 17, it speak about this. It's called about repentance. God is calling his people to come back to him and repent. Why? Because they exalted God and they worshiped his blessing instead of worshiping the blessed one. So they worshiped the demigod and they became gods. And so God says, come back to me, repent, because I'm going to allow you to, because this is the kind of God I am. And he said in Joel 2, and he said, it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Just like when in the beginning he said, he so loved the world. And at the end, he so poured his spirit. There's a connection between the so and all. And so what happened, your sons and daughter will prophesy, and your old man will dream dreams and vision, and young men too, and women. And even your slave will prophesy, and they will have dreams and vision. I will pour out my spirit in those last days. Who is Hagar to Abraham and Sarah? She was a slave. She was slave. So I was watching Arab TV, Al Jazeera TV, radical Islam Muslim Brotherhood. And on TV came the head of the Muslim censor. And he said, we have a phenomenon that's taking place in the Middle East. And we don't know what to do with it. He said, we killed them. We jailed them. We hanged them. We beat them. We do everything to them. And they are coming to Christ. He said, every hour of every day, we have 667 Muslim coming to Christ. Every hour. Every day, 17,000 Muslims coming to Christ. Every year, 6 million Muslims coming to Christ. And it has been happening in the last 10 years in sequence. Amen. Wahoo! It's not Yahoo. God is calling his children back. Jesus, when he went to Jerusalem, what did he rode in? I'm sorry? He called him jackass. He called him literally redneck. And he said, go and get me that nobody went rode on him. Bring him so I'm going to ride to Jerusalem on. To Abraham, what did he tell God? Tell to Abraham that Ishmael will be what? Will be an ass of a man. He will be a jackass. And he will hinder everybody. But Jesus said, I made a promise to Abraham, and I'm coming to Jerusalem, and I'm going to ride on him as a price. And when I declare who I am, Islam, many of them will come with me. But God's kingdom must flourish from this place. So now, let's go further. In the book of Proverbs 7, this is a very important story. It speak about the harlot. So Solomon came out on his balcony and he was looking through the lattice. And as he looked through the lattice and he said, he saw the harlot. And she was dressed in the fullness of her glory. And she, who is she seeking? That young man that he was going nowhere, aimless. And he's going in the city and he's going all over the place. He doesn't know where to go. And she went out to meet him. She was dressed in her glory. And she said to him, listen, let's commune our love together. Let's do this. My husband is gone until the full moon. When the full moon come about, he's coming back. And he took price with him to build something great. The church today, 50% of the church is prostituting herself in the world. That's how Israel fell. Why they prostitute themselves with the Arabs, with the nations over there. Today, God will say, come back to me, for I am gracious. And I'm forgiving God. And then here's the story. There's this story in Jordan. So we want to do clinical work in Jordan. And this woman, she was a Muslim. And she stood out there with her children, all her 7 children. And, the Christians were given those clinics. And she stood there and she said, can I step in there? I mean, is that okay? I'm not a Christian, I'm a Muslim. Can I step in there? Can I be part of this? So everybody said, absolutely, that's what it is for. It is not about whether you're Christian or Muslim. It's about to bless you. And as she went in there, they took her to the forefront and they treated her and their children. They took care of her and they ministered to her. That's what Jesus commended us. This is what Jesus is doing, you know, for those people who have been hungry and thirsty and lost. And the end of the story took place right there. The second day, early in the morning when the clinic opened, this woman was coming. Hello, 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 hello. I saw him last night. I saw him last night. You saw who? Oh, Jesus came to my house. How did that happen? Well, you ministered to me who he is. And when you told me who he is, I saw him. The one came to my house and he said, you're in good hand. She said, I want to receive Jesus Christ. The goodness of our heart, the work of the kingdom is at hand. The blessing that God has given you today, all are borrowed, including your body, your heart, your mind, your wealth, your health, your children, your grandchildren, your job, your car, your home. Everything is borrowed. Nothing is yours. None. But what you do with it, what makes you special. What is that? You give your life to him. I belong to Jesus. I belong to him. I belong to Jesus. I'm free from iniquities and sins. I belong to him. Let it rise. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it rise and shine. So anyhow, and then we go down deeper in the book of Joel, and it says, and it will show, he said, in the last days I will show wonders in heaven and on earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming and great and awesome day of the Lord. What is the great and awesome day of the Lord? I'm sorry? The rapture. He's coming home. He's coming to say, come on, y'all. He's from southern Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the Mount of Zion in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance, declares the living God. Among the remnant whom the Lord has called, you are called by his name. You are his children. And what happened? He said, come back to me. In that days, I will show you the wedding dress rehearsal in the heaven. And it'll be blood. The moon will turn to blood and the sun will turn to darkness. And there will be wars and rumors of war and there will be great deception. There will be earthquakes and there will be catastrophe all over the world. The word of God in Luke 19:13 said, occupy until I come back. Isn't that right, Pastor Joe? Here's where we come into. The blood moons today, the Lord is telling us, it's about to happen. He's sending us a message to wake up. It's not my word, it's his word. And we come into that place where we say, surrender all, or we say, I'm not sure about this, let me read the dictionary what it says. Science and God do not mix. God is creator of all things. On those in the past when the blood moons, something happened always. In, you know, there's 7 blood moons throughout history from 1 AD. The Spanish Inquisition, when the Jewish were about to be tortured and killed in Spain. And that's what Christopher Columbus came to, and he found America. 1/3 of the ship were Jews. The statehood of Israel, 1948. 7-day war. When Israel hit Saddam Hussein nuclear reactor. All of it happened in those times. That's not coincidence. Right now we come into that place and God is saying, arise, awake, and pray. This is the purpose for our life. there are so much there, and I don't know how to say it any other way. The word of God in Isaiah 55 and 6 said, seek the Lord where maybe he's still found, you know, where it's still time. Time is closing. Revelation 2 and 1 and 4 says, God spoke to the loveless church. He said, and to the angels of the church of Ephesus write, these things says, who hold the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstand. Jesus, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. And that you cannot bear those who are evil and lying and deceiving. But you have tested those things, and you said these, whether they are apostle or not, and you have found them to be liars. He said, and you have preserved and have patience, and you have labored in my name and for my name's sakes, and you have not become weary. You worked, you pressed, you did everything. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You have lost your first love. All our work, if it's not God-centered for the love of God, I can tell you this, flush it down the toilet. It's count for nothing. As the song and as he was saying, it's not what we did, it's what he did. It's not the work that we do, it's his grace and mercy. All other false religion, what they do is what they do. It's fulfillment by their work, but in God's kingdom is what he does. And if we allow him to do it through us, we become an altar for the living God. That altar requires sacrifice. That sacrifice requires time. And that time requires the glory of God. What you're offering on your altar. If you're not offering a sacrifice for the living God, then you're offering sacrifice for somebody else. Every king seat, God called us kings and priests. Every king has a priestly seat. If your priestly seat is not strong, then your kingly seat is nothing. It's very weak. And every priestly seat has an altar, and every altar has a sacrifice. What you burn on that altar is the most important thing. And the most important fragrance to the Lord is not what we burn on it. It's what we offer our life on it. He offered his life. He gave his life. The word of God says, what else? What more can he give? Today we are no greater than Christ Jesus. If he did this for us, then we are just an example of what he is and who he is. So we got to come to our senses and find our identity and find ourselves. Martin Luther King said, the key to reformation is to repent. What is repentance? If you're going east, turn around and go west, young man. That's repentance. Wherever you are, if you think that you are in the wrong place, do 380. We have not seen revival yet because the church is spending time with its lover, the sin. And that's her husband, the Lord. The word of God in the book of Hosea 14 and 1-3, and he said, come back to me. Come back to me. Silence in the face of evil is evil. We're committing evil. When we don't speak, we are surrendering and relinquishing our life and everything we have, even our sacred honors, to demonic power and activity. We are giving the leash to our enemy to lead us as slaves when we don't take stand. When we don't vote, then we are setting the world into failure. The church is the light of God. The church is the hope for the hopeless. The church is the strength for the weak. The church is the living God place. It is his parliament. It is his place to take place on earth. Act like his children. Be his children. Start challenging the demons. If demons are scared when they're found. And if they can keep us busy from our work, then they win. Whatever is holding you, whatever that anchoring you in the water, that you're not moving forward, sever that line. Sever it. Because in him we live and breathe and move and have our being. The Lord called me. He said, Kamal, I want you to step out of your boat. I said to him, you are the living God. And if you want me to step out of my boat, you got to bid me, because I'm not sure if I know how to do it. I'm so used to corporate USA. I'm making six figures. I have 3 cars. I have a beautiful home. My wife loves me. Good provider. Everybody's calling Mr. Manager, Director over IT. Everybody's just like, oh, we worship you. I was having my way with everything. He said, step out of your boat. What is he saying? Step out of your comfort zone. Step out of your suit. Step out of whatever is holding you back. Step out of what putting fear in your heart. I said, Lord, you tell me, because I don't know how. One man said to Jesus, he said, help me. He said, help my belief to believe, because I don't know how. And he said, I said, Lord, you bid me, because I don't know how to do it. 7 days later, this man called me from North Carolina. And he said, brother, I'm a former Jew and I'm Christian now. And I pray for people like you. And as I'm praying in my prayer closet, don't laugh at me, the Lord said to me to give you a word. I said, say it. He said, step out of your boat. I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You are a liar and a father of lies. You are. There is God and there is Satan. You are not God. He said, brother, listen. And he told me to send you $50,000 to start your ministry. I said, brother, let's talk. Be careful what you ask God for. If you put demand on him, do not run from it. Because he will come and say, you asked for it and I'm coming through. Where you go from there, well, will establish your destiny. May God bless you. And may God keep you. And may God shine his countenance and reveal his face upon you. And may God give you his peace. And may God bless the United States of America, our home, free home. May God give liberty and freedom to our nation. May God set our people free from bondage. Moses came to say, let my people go. Today, I would say, let go in the name of Jesus Christ. Let go. Don't hold yourself hostage. You are not a slave. You are a master. You are not a follower. You are a king and you are a priest. Remember who you are. And thank you for allowing me to be with you today.